Good morning. Thanks for joining me. I need a volunteer to be our door today. Oh man, there's so many beautiful people, and I'm not sure who to choose. All right, Evelyn, why don't you stand up? I saw your hand first. There we go. Did you think she'd be a good door? I thought so too. I think that's a good plan. Thank you. All right. Well, good morning to you all. It's great to have you here. All of our lessons and songs are leading up to a special point when we're going to hear from Jesus about the narrow door. Now we might, if we were some other church that didn't preach the Word of God, we might say some knock knock jokes. Anyone like knock knock jokes? Well, okay, I'll give you a few, but we're really, the important part is we're going to get to the Word of God, okay? Knock, knock. Actually, we should probably do that, right? Knock, knock. Who's there? You said who's there. A door. A door is between us. That's why I'm knocking. Like that one? Not so sure? Knock, knock. Doris locked. That's why I keep knocking. Knock, knock. Ben. Been waiting for 10 minutes. Will you please open up? Knock, knock. Anyone hear that? Knock, knock. Lettuce. Lettuce in. Yeah, that was predictable, right? Did you see that? Did you hear that one coming? Thank you, door. I really appreciate your help. The trouble is you're still closed. And you're kind of small. Even if you were open, it'd be hard to get through you. And that's what Jesus tells us in our gospel today. I want you to listen for it. He's going to talk about people who, at the end of time, have come to a door, but it won't open up. It's closed. Forever. And they start to cry and scream and shout and gnash their teeth. And someone even peeks out and says, "What do you want?" Basically. And they say, "Well, we would like to come in because we knew you. We were with you. Hey, that's Jesus. Hey, Jesus, we were there when you were preaching in the streets. We were singing songs with you. We were helping people alongside you." The trouble with those people is that they didn't believe in Jesus, though. They spent all kinds of time with him. They knew about him and they knew who he was, but they didn't put their trust in him. You see how that's a problem? You see how that could be confusing if you were spending time with Jesus, but you didn't bother to treat him like the narrow door. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the door, and those who enter by me have eternal life." Do you know the only way into heaven? Anybody? It's not Evelyn. That's my hint. But it is another person. There you go. You said, if you believe in Jesus. That's right. It's believing in Jesus. And Jesus is the narrow door. And the only way to enter him is by putting our faith in him. That's really very important because, as we will hear, people will be left outside, and we don't want to be any of those people. We don't want any of our friends or family to be those people. We want to share all of the beauty and loveliness of Jesus, the door to eternal life. Here's the good part. If you'll just hinge open like a door, this is how the door is now. The door is open. It might be narrow. It might be difficult to get through. It might be hard to not want to go through other doors. But guess what? It's free for the taking for anyone from all the corners of the earth. We're going to hear about that too. How Jesus is the narrow door, and anyone who might trust in him will have eternal life. All right, why don't we fold our hands? Dora, if you'll just stand a little bit more, because it might be difficult to sit. And we'll say a prayer to the true door to heaven. Dear Jesus, thank you for being open for us. Help us through the difficulties of life to find you above all things so that we might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Grace and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel this morning is in Luke chapter 13, beginning with the 22nd verse. He, it's Jesus, went on his way from one town and village to another, teaching and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone said to him, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house gets up and shuts the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open for us.' He will tell you in reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say, 'I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown outside. People will come from east and west, from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And note this, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. It has been said that when God closes a door, he opens a new one. Is that comforting? I've heard that said. I kind of like that when I think about difficulties and troubles and missed opportunities and failures and newfound successes, joys, unexpected blessings. When God closes a door, he opens a new one. However, it does leave you to a little bit of guesswork, doesn't it? Is this the door I'm supposed to enter, or that one? Is God closing this door? Is this open door for someone else? What if it seems like all the doors around me are shut? Jesus has a scripture for us that gives us much greater hope, although it seems far narrower. The fact that Jesus always has the door open until the end of life, until the end of time. And then it's shut. But as it stands for you and I living and breathing, Jesus has a door, the door. Forget about whatever doors God may have opened or closed. This is the door that really matters. If you don't see these other doors, you can still enter the door. The door that Jesus is talking about today. As our hearts follow him, as he wends his way to Jerusalem, he's got his face resolute towards the cross. He's looking ahead to the suffering. He's determined. Last time we talked about how he's not necessarily the happy-go-lucky Jesus that people like to see and like to think about. There are some very solemn things about this Savior Jesus, who has a heart for each and every one of his hearers. Back in his day and now in our day, they need to know about this narrow door, and so do you. And you need to know what to do with it. What to do when God opens the door. Jesus' message today is strive to enter through it. He uses that word strive in our Evangelical Heritage version of the Bible. In NIV 84, I believe it said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The word in the Greek is the same base as our root word for agony. Agonize might be a good translation. It's an athletic word. It's a sporting word. It means you train. You strive. You struggle. And those of you who may be feeling the effects of age or wearing out or some kind of injury, you know that in a way we're all athletes whether we like it or not. We've all been given a body along with our soul, and we're better off if we take care of it as good stewards, whether that's through diet or exercise or sleep. It takes a lot sometimes to agonize. And if you were in the Olympic Games, all the more. You'd be training day in and day out in ways that most people don't have opportunity to because we have our normal jobs. The same thing is true for the soul, Jesus says. Agonize. Make every effort. Strive to enter through the narrow door. And we might wonder why. Why does it take that kind of effort? If we're saved by grace alone through faith, is it human effort that we're talking about? Not really. In fact, absolutely not, because it's not by any human effort that we get to go into heaven. It's not by our own good deeds or by not being bad. And yet we know, as believers who trust in that promise, who know that we can get to heaven as sinners scot-free by the blood of Jesus, sometimes it takes a lot of agonizing because we're still in this world of sin. Sometimes there are some pretty big, gaping doors that our own sinful flesh would love to enter rather than that narrow door of Jesus. Christianity tells us a lot of things we don't like to hear in our sinful nature. Part of us doesn't like to hear to drown the part of us that does wrong. Part of us doesn't want to hear not to sin. Part of us doesn't want to hear to deny temptations and things around us that would cause us to lose the faith. Part of us doesn't want to deny ourselves the pleasure and urges that hurt other people or that hurt our own bodies or that hurt our relationship with God could even tarnish it so bad that we lose faith altogether. We don't want to hear about a narrow door, do we? We want to hear about a big gaping door. Something pleasurable, something fun, something shiny, something that looks like this world, something we can dope on, something that we can enjoy in the moment. But no, Jesus says, it's a striving, it's an agonizing, it's a struggle, almost like an athletic struggle in the Olympic Games. How epic does that make your struggle against the devil? To know that Jesus says it that way. He says, I know it's hard. Boy, who knew any better than Jesus? True God, the Son of God, who took on flesh to become like one of us, to struggle and win every battle, every gold medal along the way, to agonize on our behalf when we didn't, and when we didn't want to hear about a narrow door. The ugliest thing about this narrow door, brothers and sisters in Jesus, is that back in those days, a narrow door was a tomb. Tombs were narrow. The entrance into a grave was narrow. The entrance into a dungeon was narrow, a prison. And this particular door bleeds. This particular door opens up out of grace like wounds. In fact, in actually literal wounds on the cross, so that you and I might enter through and have heaven through that narrow door. In a way, those of us who trust in Him, it's a beautiful picture that Jesus Christ is our narrow door. And what power and what force and what a beautiful thing to draw on as we engage in our struggle against looking at all of these other gaping doors that yawn wide for us, just tempting us, just hoping that we'll find pleasure. Those doors, they just don't bleed. They just don't look like suffering. They just don't account for the payment for sin. And while we might like to live for sin without a payment, true faith receives the payment that Jesus did on the cross and carries it from this life through that door into the next. It's really a stark thing when Jesus says this By saying there's a door, he does separate people. He does say there's people inside and there are people outside. And it can make us feel like Jesus isn't very inclusive. It's been said and it's been understood kind of in the world around us that it almost seems like no one would not go to heaven. Don't you get that impression? Some of you work at funeral homes now, I know, and a comment that's been made is, at none of these funerals do they say the individual has not gone to heaven. That's a pretty unpopular thought. It's pretty difficult to say that to someone who's grieving, well, I don't think so-and-so really had faith in Jesus, so they're not going to heaven. But sadly, Jesus comes right out and has that message for those who would enjoy the doors of this world. I think it's something for us to consider. Because apparently in Jesus' time, not many of his listeners were agonizing to enter in. He had to tell them. Apparently this was a popular thing for the rabbis to talk about. Few or many? Is it going to be a lot of people or just a few people? And the whole point of asking that question isn't necessarily just because you like math. The point of asking that question is, where do I fit in? Am I one of the few? Or am I one of the many? Am I a part of the small crowd? Or do I conform to the other crowd and just enjoy my way to wherever that may lead? Because other people are doing it. The point of that question is, have I focused on this in my earthly life enough to know whether I'm going to heaven or not? Have you considered that question lately? Are you entering through the narrow door? Have your sins scared you to the point of hellfire? Do you ever wonder and worry about that? Seriously, last night I had a dream that I died. And part of me was afraid. And part of me that knows my sins. A part of me that knows how I failed in a very real, tangible way. How I wasn't like Jesus. How I've walked through big, wide, gaping doors that hurt somebody else. And maybe led someone else astray. How I influenced other people on the wrong path. How often do you think about that? It's important at times, brothers and sisters, for the law to scare us. Simply because of the very reason Jesus had to say this is because of sin. It's because we're not there yet. And we strain and we hope to what is ahead for the prize. But at the same time, it's important for us to consider that because Jesus wants to remind us who has won the prize and how to get there. What a gracious and merciful God who, yes, in his judgment says this door is closed, but for now, look at how beautiful and how wide open that door is. Not wide on the path, not easy to discover. Because it's a door that takes repentance to find, but it's a door that simply takes faith to enter. And this is not from yourselves. This entryway, this faith is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. By observing the law, no one, not any of flesh, will enter the kingdom of God, will be justified. But by faith alone can those who trust know what's coming ahead. It's right through this narrow door, brothers and sisters. This narrow door died for a reason, so that all those scary, worried thoughts about hell might be put aside, so that dreams about what might happen in the end might be lost and gone forever. So that the sins we've committed against our family are very forgivable because of what our Savior has done for us. Because of our narrow door, as narrow as the cross, as narrow as the wounds that bled on it. They're wide open for anyone who might trust. And Jesus says this, it's from all these different four corners of the earth, north, east, west, south. It was very offensive for the Jews to hear this. most likely? Wait, you're saying that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, people who've been tested in their faith and who came through the struggle, people who had miserable earthly lives like Jeremiah, we've been talking about that in adult Bible study in the book of Lamentations, a ministry where it seemed like nobody listened. They jailed him, they threw him into pits, they locked him in the stocks, they mocked him. They didn't have any ear to hear what Jeremiah had to say. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, similar people, they get to go in. But you're saying that we Jews don't get to go in? The popular thought was that pretty much every Jew is going into heaven, except for maybe the really bad criminals, guys you might see on a Roman cross, or people like Barabbas, who were obvious rabble-rousers who brought us into a worse situation than when he came before. Murderers, thieves, criminals, rapists. But no, it's true that every person must search his or her heart and consider, am I entering through the narrow door? People from every corner of the earth. An offensive message, and yet a life-giving message that accounts for all of your wrongs, that puts all of them away, that leaves them here on the outside. This door leaves not only sinners, but your sins on the outside, because the place where you will enter is a beautiful place. After the epic victory that you will win at the end of days by faith alone in Jesus Christ, you get to live in a place where you'll never hurt your brother or sister or mother or children. You'll never lead anyone astray. You'll never have to think about, well, maybe these big gaping doors that lead into sin are better than the narrow door because that's unpopular and uncool. We'll be in a place where the narrow door is our life and our light and our tree of life and our heavenly banquet and our host and the one who says, come now, for all things are prepared. Invited to the feast, brothers and sisters. For now, strive to enter the narrow door, because it's open for you now, and is open forever to those who might trust. Amen.